Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I want to thank Pastor Chris for this opportunity to share the word with you today. Our scriptures for today, 1 Samuel 16, beginning at the first verse. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears that I'm coming, he will kill me." The Lord says, "Take a heifer with you and say that you have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of his sons to anoint for me." So Samuel did as the Lord has instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him and said, "What's wrong? Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied, "I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. Well, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and said, "Surely this is the one that God wants me to anoint." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Samuel told his son Abinadab, said, "Step forward and walk before Samuel." But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next, Jesse summons Shemaiah. But Samuel said, "Neither is this the one that the Lord has chosen." In the same way, seven times the Lord said no. Then Samuel says, "You don't have any other sons?" Jesse said, "Yes, there is still the youngest. But he is out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats." Samuel said, "Send for him at once, and we will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, ruddy looking, but with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Arise and anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had brought, and he anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Our second reading this morning comes from Psalms 51, 10 through 14. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you, Lord. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood. O God who saves, forgive me. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness." Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, help me to speak your word with faithfulness this morning, with clarity, authority, passion, wisdom, humility, and liberty. Hide me behind the cross, O Lord, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On last Sunday, I was blessed to have my youngest brother with me in the 9 o'clock service. And Covenant, I am blessed because I do believe that this is the first time in a long time that I have been able to be at Covenant at least 3 Sundays straight, because normally I'm gone somewhere. So I really feel blessed. And yes, I'm nervous this morning because there are some that know me on Facebook, and there's some that know me here, and there's some that you have no idea who I am and what I do. But I want to talk about my brother James. I made the statement in the 9 o'clock service last Sunday that sometimes I speak for my brother James even when he is present. And even with our age, I know we're all mature now, but I still do that. And so I have to explain why I do that. When my brother James was 2 years old, he drank liquid rat poison. Well, he drank rat poison. And the doctors gave him 36 hours to live. And we began to pray. But me, I was persistent. I wanted to be in the hospital room with my brother. Now, we're 14 months apart. But just like now, I was still a little fasty. I was just persistent. And back then, we were in segregated rooms, ends of the hospital. You had the colored one and then the other. But my grandmother said, let Mammy's baby come with her to the hospital. And so we go into my brother's room, and he's little. He's laying there in that bed, little. And my grandmother takes oil, and she anoints her hands. And then she anoints my brother, and we begin to pray. We begin to pray. I will fight you for my brother. But I want to tell you, yesterday, my brother turned 64 years old. God promised us, God's heart, God answered our prayer. And yes, the doctors were right in some essence. He was slow. He was behind some of the kids in his class, but he never missed a grade. He made his grade every time. And by the time we got to high school level, that afro that we used to wear, it hid that hearing aid, and nobody could tell that he had a hearing aid then. And his English teacher always turned her back to him, because he could read lips, which came in healthy for us sometimes as kids. What are they saying over there? Look at them. What are they saying over there? But she always turned her back, so that was his first class of the day, and that would make him wear that hearing aid, and he had it hid behind that big afro. He had skilled in brick masonry. He does excellent woodwork. And he has a CDL license. And everybody tells me that that is a hard exam to take when you're trying to get the license to drive these big trucks. But he is blessed. He was 64 yesterday. He was anointed. And this morning's scripture reading, it tells a story of David, King David, the shepherd boy, the slayer of Goliath, the musician, a man after God's own heart. He is accredited with writing most of the book of Psalms. But it is the anointing this morning, Covenant, that I want to talk about. You see, the origin of anointing was from the practice of shepherds of old. David was a shepherd boy. The practice was that lice and insects would often get into the wool of the sheep, and it would work its way to the sheep's head, and it would get near the ear, and it would just burr a hole into the ear, and it will kill the sheep. So ancient shepherds poured oil over the sheep's head that made the wool slippery, making it impossible for the insects to get near the sheep's ears, The oil will cause the insects to slide off. And from this act, anointing became symbolic of blessings, protection, and empowerment. The Bible also teaches us in James 5 and 14, the church elders anoint the sick with oil for healing. And in Hebrews 1, 8 through 9, God says to Christ as he returns triumphantly to heaven, your throne, O God, will last forever and in ever. It will endure through all generations. God has placed us in a special place. In real time, my grandchildren, now I did not know they were going to be here today because everybody had different things to do, and my daughter just gave me some good news, Pastor. She has been housing her in-laws. They are from Wilmington. So they have no idea what their home looks like, but they're on their way back, and they're going to text us to let us know how things are. My brother James called me when Florence was approaching, and he says, I'm on my way to your house. He didn't say, can I come to your house? He just says, I'm on my way to your house, because he lives in our hometown of Kinston. But because of our relationships, he didn't have to tell me that he was, he didn't have to tell me or ask me. He simply said, I'm on my way to your house. In real time, my grands will say, Grandma, so-and-so needs anointing. So I said, okay. I anoint them. I plead the blood of Jesus over my grandbabies. I don't know whoever's in trouble. It could be Deja, Deanna, Jasmine, or James, but they will say, Grandma, they need anointing. I anoint them and I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I bless, I protect, and I empower. It is my prayer that's offered up in faith that God will heal. I plead the blood of Jesus over my hands, my mind, my body, my soul, and spirit are empowered by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. With that empowerment, I protect them. I pray away bad attitudes, bad dispositions, bad temperaments, bad habits, bad disposition, making it impossible for the insect, the evil, to get in and destroy him. But before I do that, I pray for myself so I don't snatch him up and knock him into next year. In other words, I have to calm my spirit. I have to consecrate myself. I have to say, Lord, use me. Teach me before I go in there. Teach me before I lay hands in a different way that you don't want me to lay hands. You see, the act of anointing must be visible. It must be seen. It must be lived out throughout the life of a family. And to us, my family, it's sort of like a tradition. It's like what the Israelites did when the Passover. They still do the Passover. They celebrate the Passover. It's like you saying you are a Christian, and that's all you do is say, I'm a Christian. You have to show me something that you are a Christian. It's the life that you live, what you do, your deeds. Show me that you are a Christian. But you know what? The act of praying, the act of anointing and laying on hands doesn't mean anything unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless you have a relationship with God, and I call that the anointing of God's Spirit. What does it mean to be anointed? Blessed and called to be great, made with a purpose, honest and pure, set aside for unique reason, unshakable and strong, predestined to be awesome. My brother was predestined to live Because you know what? Even though he didn't know what his house looked like, when he got back and everything was okay, had a cousin to call in Warsaw, said, I'm stuck at the hospital, but my kids are at my house and they have no food and they can't get out. He pulls food out of his freezer. He cooks up food and he takes it to Warsaw, and a 30-minute, 40-minute drive turns into 2 hours because there are detours here and detours there. But he says, you were a blessing to me, so I wanted to be a blessing to them. Relationships. You see, the power of God can change human life. And in the scripture today, relationships, God chooses a king in the scripture. And when God calls you, he equips and he qualifies. David was a shepherd boy, protecting the sheep. Story tells us, scripture says, he killed lions, he killed bears, and yes, David anointed the sheep with oil. And the scripture says, when Samuel anointed David, that spirit came up, powerful, like a rushing wind, powerfully. Sounds like something else to me, huh? Sounds like Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in the room together, and a wind, violent wind, came down from heaven, and it filled the entire house. They were anointed with, and they were filled with, the Holy Spirit. But that is because these disciples had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, it's all about relationships. My brother didn't call to ask me if he could come. He just says, I'm on my way. Relationships. Well, let's talk about the relationships in the scripture today. Samuel's relationship with God was at conception. His mother at birth prayed. His mother prayed for him. His mother's name was Hannah. My family calls me Praying Hannah. But his mother prayed for him, and her relationship produced Samuel. And she promised him that, Lord, I will give him back to you. And that's how Samuel got in the temple. And Samuel's relationship with God in the temple is where he heard God's voice. And his relationship led him to David, to whom God called as his king. And David's relationship with God led him to the promise of a Messiah. God promised David that I will continue your dynasty forever and forever. But David's earthly dynasty ended 4 centuries later. But his relationship with God produced the Messiah. That promise, the coming of the Messiah. You see, Jesus, and you know this, Bible studies and Sunday school, Jesus is a direct descendant of King David. Jesus' life, death, resurrection was the ultimate fulfillment of that promise made. And with his dying brought you and I eternal life. Why? How you say that? For God so loved us, the world, his creation, that relationship that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him, in his son, in that relationship would have eternal life. Relationships, relationships, relationships. And this story of David today, it enhances the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God has been providing for us since the Garden of Eden, since the bondage of Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the pillar of clouds by day and the pillar of fire by night, manna from heaven. God has always provided for his people, and he is still providing today, regardless of what situation you may find yourself in. He is still providing for us today. He provided in this scripture. He tells Samuel, stop your whining. Stop your moping around. Saul messed up. Now you get up, my servant. You get up. I have provided for me a new king. Fill your horn with oil and go to the house of Jesse. It is one of his sons whom I have chosen. You are to anoint the one that I indicate. just like Samuel, gave God an excuse. Lord, Saul is going to kill me. God said, don't worry about him. The scripture told you what he said, so take a heifer and sacrifice, but make sure that you invite Jesse and his sons. And because of Samuel's relationship with God, he was obedient, and he did as he was instructed. As the sons appeared, Samuel looked at one and said, oh, truly, this is the one that God wants me to anoint. He is fine, biceps and all that. He has the outward appearance as being a king, but God said, no, he's not the one. And God says to Samuel, what are you doing? You're looking at the outside, but I'm looking at the heart. I ask you this morning, Covenant family, where do you see the difference between God's way of seeing and our way of seeing? What unexpected person has come into your life that carries God's spirit that you haven't seen? Have you looked in the mirror? It could be you. What is your relationship with God? What is your vision? Getting back to the text, though, the question comes, I've been through seven sons. Are these all your sons? No, the youngest one, the runt, that's what they call me. I'm the middle child. Well, I'm not the middle child. I'm the second oldest. Everybody is 5'8 to 6'4. I'm 5'1, and I didn't cheat. I am that one. I am 5'1. I did make it. But I was the runt of the family. My baby sister says they ate all the biscuits from me. But I'm the one that never really got sick, so I don't know about all of that. But this is what happened to Samuel. And when David came in, God said, get up and immediately arise and anoint him because he is the one. You see, Samuel wasn't listening like the kids this morning. They didn't hear I say everybody's going to get the sweet gum, but they weren't, and we are like that too. Don't think it's just the kids. We're like that too. I know something that Pastor Chris already said. You didn't hear it. Then you say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't remember you said that, but it's true. We have to bring together a relationship. How do I say it? Your relationship with me, your relationship with one another. You cannot look over me or look through me. You need to listen to me. When our relationship is in order with God, we don't look over one another and we don't look through one another. When our relationship with God is in order, we can love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And he didn't qualify who? Not mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, auntie. Not those that look like you. Not those that dress like you. Not those that even smell like you, talk like you. He simply says, love one another. But it's hard loving when you're not getting loving back. It's hard loving, and we mess up every day. We mess up every day. We sin every day. But with the right relationship with God, we can love one another. Oh, David messed up. David messed up. We say David messed up big time. He committed adultery. Then he committed murder to cover up the adultery. But I believe, and the scripture says, some of that oil, when he was anointed, was still there. Still protecting him. He still had that right relationship with God. And he cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God, with your grace, your mercy, your unfailing love. Clean me up, God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. That steadfast spirit. I'm begging, I'm pleading. I know I have messed up, God. And I deserve whatever punishment that you're going to give me, God, but please, I'm begging you, God. He was pleading with his heart. He pleaded out, don't take your joy from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because the joy that David was talking about was not that happy, 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 happy. He was talking about the peace that he felt when the Spirit was with him. He knew God was with him. And he prayed, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me this day the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And David pleaded from his heart. And God looked at his heart. David repented of his sins. And God mercifully forgave him. That was an anointed relationship. Your relationship, my relationship with God should be anointed. Anointed with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Like David, God forgives us of our sins and restores us to a relationship with him. And that relationship with God causes us to teach, to reach out to one another, to reach out to those that need this forgiveness, those who need this reconciliation. Relationship with God can change your relationship. It can change your connection. It changes your relationship, brother to brother, sister to sister, parent to child, and yes, even your enemies, friends and foes. Church, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference in a relationship. It is the anointing. It is the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. It is the anointing. I prayed many prayers when no answer came. Hallelujah. But enough answers have come to my prayers to keep me, praying on the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.